Our speaker for this next hour is Ricky Burks.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, the apostle writes to us saying, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and so on. The word virtue there simply means to do what is right because it's the right thing to do. That's motivation enough. Now we do need to consider the motivation of God when He gave His only begotten Son. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might live. If that's not motivation enough to do what is right this year, there is no other motivation. The book of Hebrews points out that if we reject the salvation that is found in Christ, there is no more hope. There is no other. Let us consider today four things that I hope will help us to understand, to have a resolution, resolve to do what is right this year. First of all, I would start with this one. For this to be a great year, have the resolution to increase your spiritual life with God as He would want you to do so. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he writes, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. As we have learned by studying from John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And from this same book, chapter 1, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of Him, the more that you and I know and learn about God's Word, the more we know about Him, and the more we know in order that we might be spiritually stronger according to His will. God wants us not to be weak Christians in any area of our life. Now, that's not to say that we will not make our mistakes, and there might not be those things we may need to change later on in life. But it is to say that He wants us to be strong. As a matter of fact, He was so set on this, the Lord was, that He gave us the means by which we can do this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul wrote, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. God wants us to be spiritually strong. When we are spiritually strong, when our souls are thriving and healthy, then we can endure so many things in life. And we can do great and wonderful things for the Lord. Some of us do not have the talent and ability to preach or to lead singing or to be an elder or a deacon or a class teacher. But there are other things that we can do to be spiritually strong and still be doing the work of the Lord as well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul writes, pray without ceasing. How strong is your prayer life? When you study the Word of God to become stronger spiritually, you're going to find out that the subject of prayer radiates throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There are so many verses that teach about prayer, either to teach as a commandment to do so, or by example of others, such as Daniel, who prayed three times a day, at least, that we cannot cover all of those even in just one lesson. But this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, sums it all up. Pray without ceasing. How is your prayer life today, this year, compared to last year? Daniel was determined to pray no matter what the law of the land said. No matter what the king wanted, he was determined to pray anyway. They've taken the prayer out of school, but not really. Those children of ours who are Christians can still pray in school and nobody can stop them. The Bible does not say that we always have to pray with our voice. Pray without ceasing. How strong are our prayers? We have recently started a prayer list. This list includes, first of all, ourselves, that we might be spiritually strong. Second, our enemies, that we might be able to reconcile with them and so on. But then we list those family and friends and neighbors and co-workers and people we meet in business who are not Christians or who are struggling spiritually, and we are praying for them. Not that our prayers are the only things that will save them eternally, but we want God to know that we are interested in their souls. We pray for ourselves, we pray for our enemies, we pray for those who are in spiritual need. Prayer is a vital part of the Christian life. Pray without ceasing. Then this year we need to have humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. This is the idea, quite simply, of recognizing that there is somebody greater than you are. We need to realize that it is God who created us, gave us life, and it is God who's going to take life in the end. On the day of judgment, all life on earth will cease to exist. And there will be two places, according to the study of Luke chapter 16 concerning Lazarus and the rich man, two places of which we can go. And we realize that it is God who created us, and we need to humble ourselves. It amazes me, in the few years that I have tried to preach the gospel, it amazes me so often that I see Christians keeping things from God. When you read about Ananias and Sapphira, after the church was started, some of the new brethren had lots of land, and so they sowed it, and they brought the money to the apostles so that it could be used to buy food and things for those poorer Christians who could not afford it. Well, Ananias and Sapphira thought that was a good idea, and they had some land, and they went and sowed it, and they died because of that. The Apostle Peter struck them down. Why? Well, they brought the money to Peter. The husband came first, and then the wife, and he laid it down at the apostle's feet, and Peter said, "You're lying about this. Did you not sell it for so much? Yea. You have kept back part of the price." Kept it back. They had kept back from God part of the price. Now, was he saying that they had to give it all? No. He said, while it was in your hand, you could do whatever you want to with it. It was yours. They'd lied about how much they had gotten for the land and made it seem that that was all they could do. Well, it didn't matter if they had the property and they sold it for $100 or $1,000. That didn't make a difference. It was that God loves a cheerful giver as He has purposed in His heart, so let Him give. And they thought that they could get away with lying about it. Well, if they had, let's say it was $1,000and the neighbor next to them had the same kind of property and sold it for $1,000, he gave $500 and they only gave $100, it wouldn't have made any difference. Because they may have had different obligations than this person did, but they wanted to seem, I guess is what they were trying to do, why they lied to the Holy Spirit about it. This is all we can do. They lied about it. Well, they kept back. Adam and Eve kept themselves back from God. In the garden, after they partook of the forbidden fruit, they became ashamed of what they had done and they hid themselves from God. Well, these are just two ways that people keep themselves from God. Years ago, I met a lady. She did not agree with the way that the contribution was being used. And so she kept back her contribution. Well, that money belonged to God. I've seen people who disagree with the decision that the elders have made and then they decide not to come to worship anymore. So they keep their worship from God because they disagreed with the elders. Well, what should have happened in these cases was to have talked to the people about the concern and tried to work it out. But it amazes me over the years how many of us keep things from God like this. because we don't realize who is in charge. We have not humbled ourselves before the Lord. If the Lord wants us to be here on the first day of the week, that's where we should be, because we understand He's greater than we are. If He wants to give us to give of our means or pray or whatever else He's required of us, we need to do that because of who He is. We humble ourselves in His sight. We realize that He is greater than we are. This humility also extends to our fellow man, that we humble ourselves with each other, that we consider the other better than us, that we're like Jesus was when He bowed down before the 12 and He washed their feet as a servant would. Then we also need faithfulness. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, among other verses, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." More faithful in our worship, more faithful in our service, more faithful, whatever area is weak or lacking, let's determine that that's going to be a strong area this year. Faithfulness is required of God because it shows how much we really care. It shows how much we are willing to do, and so on. Let us be more faithful this year. Are there times when we could have been doing something for the Lord and we decided to do something else? Are there times, for example, maybe we've gone on vacation, we leave on Saturday, we get there on Sunday, "Oh, I'm just too tired to go worship somewhere." So we decide to sleep in and then go to the beach or wherever we've gone. Are we faithful to the Lord? It's still the first day of the week. It still requires it. Let's be faithful. I will increase my spiritual life through endurance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, they were concerned, the Corinthians were concerned, that they had missed out on the day of resurrection, the judgment day, because the Lord had not yet come. Some said that He'd already come. Some said He wasn't coming at all because it had taken so long to get there. Paul writes to them and tells them not to give up. And in the very last verse of 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Must endure. You're going to hear all kinds of things this year. As a matter of fact, in December, you're going to hear a statement made that was similar to the one that was made twice last year. You remember? In May and October, by the same man. In May, he said, "It's the end." Well, it didn't come, so he said, "Oh, I miscalculated." So it's coming in October. Well, here's January. It still hasn't ended, the world. But that's what they're going to do for this year. And they're basing it on the Mayan calendar. Well, they've already proven that that was wrong. Even if that's right, I'm not worried about it. I asked some people one time, "How are you feeling?" They said, "Well, it's better than the alternative," meaning death. And I said, "No, it's not. If you're ready to go, death is better than what you have now." Paul said that when he said he would rather go on and be with the Lord, which was far greater. If I'm ready to go, it'll be far greater. Can you imagine Lazarus, who died, was buried? They called to the Lord, and the Lord didn't get there as quickly as they thought He should have. Lazarus was dead by the time He got there. And He told him, "Rise up and walk." Can you imagine Lazarus being in paradise and the Lord bringing him back to earth? "If I'm ready to go, leave me there." Endurance is what we need to increase our spiritual life this year. Not to give up, not to give in, not to give out, but to live faithfully. The second thing is, what we need to consider is that I will treat others in a proper Christian way. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, beginning, "Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Some people call this plausible deniability. Abraham used this, and he was wrong. His wife's name was Sarah, and she was his half-sister. And he told a man, "She is my sister." Well, he didn't lie about it. It was part of the truth. Conveniently left out, "Well, she's my wife also." He risked her life and his life. And he was wrong because he wasn't being honest with the man. Even though he told part of the truth, he was still wrong. Today it's called plausible deniability. Part of the truth is still wrong. And so provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Do as much as you can to live at peace with people. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This year, I resolve to treat others in a proper Christian manner. The golden rule, as we oftentimes call it, "As you would therefore that men should do to you, do you likewise to them, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That's what the Lord wants us to do, is to treat people in the way we want it to be treated. Would we want somebody to tell us just part of the truth when it was a very important subject to talk about? Would we want somebody to have vengeance against us? Maybe we've made a mistake. Maybe we didn't realize what we were doing or saying. Would we not want to have the opportunity to change it, to turn it around, to repent of it if necessary? Why would we not want to give that same thing to them? And this leads us up to the third thing. As is found in the book of Matthew, within the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the chapters there. In the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord teaches about prayer and how to treat others on the subject of forgiveness. You remember He taught, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread," and so on. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." One verse says, "Those who trespass." Those who do things against us that are wrong things, they shouldn't be doing them. Have we been holding a grudge against them, or will we hold a grudge? Are we going to be willing to forgive? Well, according to Matthew 6, verse 12 through 14, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And I've placed this one in here because this is the way we need to be treating others, because that's the way we want them to treat us. But it is such a great barrier to Christian living when we are unwilling to forgive, when we hold a grudge. Then the last one is, I will try to uplift as many people around me as I possibly can. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, the things whereby one might edify," which means to lift up, build up, to strengthen up another. I will try this year to make the person next to me stronger than they are right now. I will try to build them up, to give them a firm foundation upon which to live. And in doing so, I will be strengthening myself. These four things are what you and I need to be trying this year. We need to do our best to increase our spiritual life, to make it stronger, to treat others as we would want to be treated, to forgive when they are willing to repent, and to uplift or build up others around us.